She was young, beautiful, and married, but she was not desired.
I want you like we used to want.
She had everything, but she was not fulfilled.
God, it has nothing to do with you.
Until a stranger entered her life.
I know what you really are.
I make no excuses for what I do.
And swept her into a world of insatiable passion.
I want you to move in with me.
No. You're gonna kill him.
You have a mistress, don't you?
Just go to him. He's your husband. Talk to him.
I can't be what you want me to be.
Yes, you can.
It's over.
You don't love him.
Nicolas Cage.
I can't get you out of me.
You don't know anything about love.
Judge Reinhold and sensational film newcomer Erica Anderson.
Be the cap of what you want. You might just get it.
Joe!
Xander Lee.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Works, an in-depth look into the career and filmography of Nicolas Cage. My name is Mike Smith, and joining me on this journey into the depths of true cagedom is my friend, co-host, and fellow cageaholic,
Mike DiCrescio.
How are you doing, Mike?
Good, good. I think today will be a very interesting episode.
I think so, too. Now, the year was 1991. The film was an unofficial adaptation of the French novel Thérèse Raquin. According to Wikipedia, it steals liberally from the book.
Well, yeah, okay, that's fair.
I've never read the book. I have no knowledge of that book's plot or anything.
Me neither. I was going to say it's not really stealing, but I don't remember seeing anywhere adapted from that novel.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
That's stealing.
Yeah. I actually looked on that novel's Wikipedia page, and apparently it's been adapted many times. It does not mention Zandali at all. So
you got that going for you.
So yeah, the movie we're talking about today is Zandali.
That's the one
that I just referred to. In the United States, it was released straight to video. No
makes a lot of sense.
No surprise there. Zandali, named after Erica Anderson's character in the movie, is a tremendously bad movie.
Yeah.
I think we're both in agreement on that. It was bad. It was a rough time.
This is the kind of movie that I was watching it, and I was like, all right, I gotta be almost done. There's still an hour left. I was so mad.
I had the same thought process. I think with the exception of maybe Tempo de Uccidere, this is probably the worst movie you've reviewed so far. Like I,
yeah,
and that's a big maybe. I think this might be worse than Tempo de Uccidere.
I don't know. I don't even know.
like that movie has, I think, a far more objectionable plot. But it has a couple of enjoyable scenes, and it's at least enjoyable in the factor of, like, what they're saying isn't in English, and it's, like, in broken,
yeah,
and it looks
that's
silly.
True. It's got the silly B-movie factor. This is just, like, a bad movie.
Yeah, this is... I can't think of a single thing in this movie that really works.
Or even that happened. Like, I don't...
Or even that happened.
There's not even a plot.
There isn't really. This is a story that's been told 1,000 times, and the movie doesn't bring anything new to it. And I think my biggest issue with it... is the casting of the two male leads, which, based on where the film goes in the end, should probably have been reversed, or at least radically different. I don't think it would have been good.
Right.
But I think it would have been at least a little bit memorable. Nicolas Cage stars this movie as Johnny Collins, alongside his Fast Times at Ridgemont High co-star, Judge Reinhold.
Co-star? That seems like a loose definition of that word.
Scene star. Scene coast.
There you go.
Because Nicolas Cage is in a scene with Judge Reinhold in that movie.
He is. You're right.
The user submitted IMDb plot synopsis of Zandali. Is it Zandali or Zandali?
I just don't know. I say Zandali, but I think they say Zandali? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure both are said in the movie.
I'm sure they are.
Also, the Judge Reinhold's character is named Thierry?
Yeah.
Thierry.
Or Terry.
Terry or Thierry.
Which I guess makes sense why it's set in New Orleans, since it's, you know, I didn't realize it was adapted from French or a French novel. So in the most French city in the U.S.
True. Or not adapt, steals liberally.
Steals liberally. That's
French
true.
Novel. So the IMDb plot synopsis, which is a user submitted plot synopsis. So it's not an official IMDb one. It's a user submitted one, which means it's a lot more detailed.
I was going to say, it's got to be better then.
Yeah. Bored with her marriage to burnt out poet turned corporate executive Thierry, Zandali falls prey to an old friend of her husband, the manipulative and egotistical Johnny, and becomes enmeshed in a sensual, passionate, and destructive affair. I don't think enmeshed is a word.
It's a bold choice, though. He committed to it.
Yes, there's more. But it isn't only the flames of their erotic affair that are fanned by the steamy heat of the deep New Orleans nights.
Wow.
Hatred, desire, and revenge stalk the lovers with a relentless precision, and for Zandali, the moment of truth arrives with a terrifying finality.
that guy thinks he's smart.
I think he's put a lot of thought into the ins and outs of Zandali.
Yeah, he's an out. Spoiler alert, Enmesh is a real word, so good for that guy.
Enmesh is a real word, okay.
It is, yeah.
Did you look it up while I was talking?
I did.
Oh, well done.
It means to wrap or entangle in a net.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So Zandali / Zandali has left basically no cultural footprint because very few people saw it. Again, it was a direct-to-DVD, a direct-to-video movie in the early 90s.
Yep.
And that's, you know, today if something goes direct to video or DVD or it doesn't do that anymore because it goes to digital, that's not necessarily a bad thing. A lot of independent movies go that way now, and, you know, there's a lot of quality movies coming out on demand.
Yeah, there's a much bigger network to get the word out with the internet.
Absolutely.
About movies like that. So. Yeah,
but in the early 90s, if something went out in direct-to-video, it was almost guaranteed that it was pretty much garbage.
Yeah.
You know, that was a bad sign right from the get-go. It's big claim to fame. This is on both its Wikipedia page and its IMDb page. And I actually do remember this because I watched this TV show. It was once referenced in an episode of Clerks, the animated series.
Wow.
In an episode where Judge Reinhold guest stars playing himself as the judge presiding over a court case between Dante and Jay.
That's amazing.
Yes. Randall, as Dante's lawyer, tells Reinhold that he's seen all of his movies, including Zandali, and vice versa.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, this is a movie that I've never heard of until this podcast, much like a lot of the early Cage films. That
right. But some of those turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you got Rumblefish out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You got Racing with the Moon, and Birdie was pretty good, and you had a lot of good stuff. This is not one of the good ones.
No, it was not.
Zandali, interesting fact, was originally rated NC-17 by the MPAA. But the film was recut for an R rating in the U.S. The DVD that I received on Netflix was rated R. And Zandali also boasts a pretty phenomenal cast. You know, in addition to Nicolas Cage and Judge Reinhold, Zandali also stars Erica Anderson, who plays Zandali. She was on Twin Peaks.
Right, yeah.
And she was also in A Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Right. Who can forget?
Yeah, Vivica Lindelore's R&B singer Aaron Neville.
Yep.
Is that this movie?
That was a very odd appearance for him, but yeah, I liked it.
Definitely. Joe Pantoliano in a very odd role for him as well in this movie. Marissa Tomei, right before her breakout role in My Cousin Vinny. Steve Buscemi, right before his breakout role in Reservoir Dogs. Ian Abercrombie, who is Mr. Pitt on Seinfeld. Newell Alexander and Zach Galligan has a role in this movie. Zach Galligan was the main star of Gremlins.
Right.
And he's credited in this movie as a character named Raj. I do not know who Raj is. I did not see Zach Galligan in this movie.
I feel like that kind of speaks to this film, though. There's a lot of stuff that happens that I'm not, like, I just didn't absorb because it's weird and doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
and isn't done well.
I feel like this might be a relatively short episode because I, you know, as I was watching Zandali, like, I would forget things that would happen earlier in the movie as I was watching the movie.
Yeah. It was a weird time warp. Like I said, I was watching it and I was like, oh man, this movie's got to be almost over, and I'd only been half an hour and it felt like it had been an hour.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
The film was written by Mary Kornhauser, who also worked on the HBO series Tremé, and directed by Sam Pillsbury, who would go on to direct films like Free Willy 3 The Rescue and a version of Where the Red Fern Grows, which starred Dave Matthews.
Wow. So that is a thing that happened, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, man, we should really be talking about that version of Where the Red Fern Grows starring Dave Matthews. I feel like there's a lot to unpack there.
Complete Work season 2, it's going to be Dave Matthews.
I genuinely don't know. Did he appear in acting roles often? Like,
he's in a couple Adam Sandler movies, I know that much.
Is he?
Like, Don't Mess with the Zohan and that one with him and Jennifer Aniston. When they go on away, it's a fake.
Just Go With It.
He's in that. He's in a couple movies like that. It's just like the bizarre dude that shows up. He kind of replaced Rob Schneider, I think, like in those kinds of roles.
The new Schneider. Dave Matthews is the new Rob Schneider.
I think so.
I gotta say, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. And I saw Zohan back when it was in theaters.
He's in that.
I have not seen most of Adam Sandler's movies since. That was the last straw for me.
Save it for season 2 of The Complete Works, Mike.
When we're talking about Dave Matthews or Adam Sandler.
Or Adam Sandler.
But yeah, so Zandali. overall thoughts. Give me your take on Zandali, Mike.
This is a movie that would have been better left to have been better lost to the annals of time. Just like it, just let it go. Why did we shouldn't have found this one? It's just weird. It's very tonally doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of things that happen that are just kind of glossed over or like not spoken about. And I think these people hate women, like, because Zandali is portrayed in the worst possible way. Just all the stuff that happens to her, she's just, I don't know. We'll get into it. Doesn't matter. We don't do spoilers for this, right? It doesn't.
Right. It's all over. So if you want to talk spoilers, go ahead.
So she's like straight up raped a couple times, or at least once in the confessional at the church.
Right. Yeah.
That's like the most black and white version of rape. There's other couple gray moments, I think, where she tells Johnny, Nicolas Cage's character, "No, get away from me," and like slaps him. But then he kisses her, and she like changes her mood and is into it all of a sudden, which that right. doesn't make sense. And she allows herself to die for Johnny, and that, like, I can't believe that that's anything. Well, like, I can't, no. My opinion.
Okay, I think you read the ending a lot differently than I did. I thought Zandali was in a place where, you know, she was filled with grief and was, like, suicidal over the death of her husband, over Judge Reinhold's death.
Maybe
when at the end of the movie, when there's a drive-by and a guy tries to shoot Nick Cage for some reason,
we don't really know. We hear accounts need to be made payable, so that means a thing, I guess.
right. When that happens, the guy tries to shoot Nick Cage, and Zandali gets in the way of it, and she dies. I read that as her seeing an opportunity to get to, like, off
death
herself.
By drive-by or suicide by drive-by.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, maybe. I thought she said no and jumped in front of Johnny, but maybe I put that in there because I wanted the movie to end and be stupid. So I don't know. But this encapsulates this movie for me. It's just things happen that don't make sense and are weird, and I don't know. I have no thoughts. I'm speechless on this, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a good movie. So it's the main trio of performances. There's Nick Cage, Erica Anderson, and Judge Reinhold. I think Nick Cage and Judge Reinhold, like, they both have moments in the movie, but I think it might have been better if they had, like, swapped roles or something. I think
Judge Reinhold and Nick Cage and Erica Anderson, they all did a fairly decent job. They're not, I mean, they're wacky and kind of bizarre, but...
Right,
they're not overtly doing a bad performance.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like a lot of times all of them would slip in and out of the New Orleans accent.
That was my first note, or my third note, I guess, actually, because my first note was most early '90s cast ever, full frontal nudity immediately. Because as soon as the opening credits end, we get full frontal nudity.
Yeah, Zandali just rips off her clothes, basically.
Yeah. And then Judge Reinhold's talking to himself in the mirror, and I said, "Oh no, are they going to all try to do a New Orleans accent?" Because they do fade in and out of it pretty liberally.
Yes, they do.
But I feel like Cage fits the predatory character a lot more than Judge Reinhold would have.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that. But my thinking is that, like, towards the end of the movie, like, Reinhold is given a chance to really, like, go kind of nuts.
He does pull a Cage.
Yeah, at the last third of the movie. And, you know, you've got Cage right there. You know he can play it. Like, you know he can play crazy.
That's true.
And he's kind of the straight man in those scenes. And it's weird to watch. And I feel like, you know, I appreciate that he's restrained himself a little bit because you have Reinhold going nuts. But at the same time, it's like, maybe Cage should have just played this role. Like, he probably could have done the same. Like, they probably could have each played the other role better.
Yeah.
I
feel like you're looking at Cage with 2016 eyes, though.
Possibly, although
in 1992 or whenever this movie was.
91. But at this point, we'd already seen him in Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah, but nobody else had seen him in Vampire's Kiss.
But we've seen him go over the top before. Like, remember
Moonstruck,
where he's like, "Oh, I lost my hand! I lost my bride!" And, you know, we've seen him go crazy in other movies as well. You know, it's maybe not quite... you know, 2016 Cage, but
right.
Like, we know at this point that he can play nutso.
Yeah.
Like, he gets his moment, though. Wild at Heart had just come out.
Yeah.
A year earlier. he does get his moment. He gets his big freak out moment at the end, which is like that almost justified this entire movie for me. It was phenomenal to watch.
It saved it.
Because yeah, at the end, it's after Judge Reinhold's character dies,
right?
And Cage is overcome with grief about this whole thing, about the whole mess, and he's like destroying his art and then covering himself in paint. And then he just keeps covering himself in paint, and eventually he's, like, completely covered in black paint.
Yeah, it's very odd. Which is funny, though, because that's one of the, I've seen in, you know, they have the YouTube videos, the best Cage freakouts, and that's one of them. That's always in those videos. So this is always one of my favorite parts of this podcast, is when we're watching a movie, and I'm like, oh, it's that one.
It's like, providing context for those moments. Yeah, that you
for
saw
all those
videos.
Things. But yeah, I don't know. This movie is just bad. It's the only thing I could think to say.
It is. I think, and all, like, the character of both Cage and Reinhold's characters, I thought were pretty annoying, personally. Mostly because every time they had a scene together, it was like they were having a pretentious off. Like, who can be.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yes.
can be, like, the more annoying person? Like, who can be the biggest douchebag in the room?
Yeah. I feel like this film. I don't know if it just didn't land with me or they didn't do it right. I don't know. It seems like it has something to say about art and it just can't do it. Like, it can't say it right because Judge Reinhold's character is a failed poet, so he slips in and out of reciting poetry and, you know, speaking lyrical.
And the thing is, the way Judge Reinhold's character talks is the kind of, like, that's the type of dialogue that he talks like. I like hearing that kind of dialogue in movies a lot of the time. Like, it has, like, this lyrical quality to it, but I don't think Reinhold sells it very well, and the movie doesn't do anything with it.
No, it just has him do it.
It just has him do it. And, it, you know, he could, like, it sort of sounds like, obviously this happened many years later, but he kind of sounds like Matthew McConaughey in True Detective, where he's kind of, like, spouting, like, you know, various philosophies or whatever. He's spouting various poetries, and, you know, it's weird. The way it's shot in True Detective and the way, like, McConaughey portrays it, like, it's intense and it's, like...
Yeah, he sells it.
He sells it really well. I don't think Reinhold does. And I love Judge Reinhold. I think we talked about that in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
He's amazing in that movie. I loved his performance in that movie. Not crazy about him in this one.
No. Yeah, that's exactly what happens, though. Him and Cage, and then Cage is... Johnny is trying to talk to what art really is because he's a painter, and Judge Reinhold's quoting poetry, and, like, it's just nothing's happening, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was rough. What did you think of the rest of the cast, like the cast kind of outside the main trio, like Joe Pantoliano's gay best friend?
I love his character. That was so out of form for the type of thing I've seen him in.
Yeah,
he's like some kind of gangster dude,
usually,
or
yeah,
a cop,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah, he's Cypher in the Matrix, like.
Yeah, exactly. And this, he is just like a cross-dressing gay dude hanging out in her fashion shop. Like, yeah. It's great. And he's really funny. And he's the most honest character in the film. Like,
right.
He's telling it like it is a lot of the times. So I don't know. He was cool. Marissa Tomei's scene was very odd and weird.
Yep.
But I didn't put it in context that she hadn't been in My Cousin Vinny yet, so that makes sense why she's in such a tiny, bizarre role.
Right, yeah. It's
like as, like, the girlfriend or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But overall, no one's doing a bad job, but it's just... individually, no one's doing a bad job, but together, it all equals bad.
Yeah, I did think Steve Buscemi was kind of funny in his...
forget about him.
Like, his role in this movie is like a prisoner who has escaped from prison, I guess, and is constantly being chased by cops.
Right? I think he was he's on like a work crew or something. Cause
okay.
He's wearing
he's a prisoner jumpsuit. He's collecting garbage. But then there's another scene where he's like had stolen a TV and is being chased by cops.
Yeah. I don't really know.
But yeah, he upped up the creepy factor pretty quickly in the movie, which is, you know, always good. Cause Steve Buscemi's a pretty creepy guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a this thing that happens with this film a lot where we jump from scene to scene that then they're very disparate. Like, even the opening scene is them in their bedroom, Zondali and Thierry, or however you pronounce it, in their bedroom having a conversation, getting ready for the morning. We cut to outside, we see it's New Orleans, and it's raining, and then we cut to them in the kitchen, and they're, like, in different clothes and talking, and then he leaves for work. And I was like, is that the same person? Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, what? And there's a lot of things like that where, like, we'll have a conversation, cut to something else, and then cut back to the different part of the – like, I don't know. And then, like, specifically Steve Buscemi's final scene, Zandalee – we see Thierry die.
Right.
And then Zandalee's – oh, we're in her – we're in the grave – the cemetery, and she's standing at his grave. And then Steve Buscemi just, like, casually walks up into the cemetery and is like, hey, you got any money? And it's like, what? What would you – I mean, I get we're not – he's supposed to be, like, a weird scummy dude because he's a prisoner or something. But then he drops this really intense life advice on her. Yeah, and then, like, you got a light for my cigarette, and then walks away. Like, I don't
– Yeah, I have written down as Buscemi, the wise convict.
Yeah, that's the exact character he plays. I just looked at one of my notes for my favorite line that Nicolas Cage says, but we'll get to it. I assume.
Oh, what's the line? Wow, why not? Let's go.
Oh, we're gonna fuck like animals at the altar of the primal. That's a direct quote from this movie.
That is a direct quote. I also enjoy the fact that they kept using the phrase "dumb coon ass prick."
Yeah, that was another note I have. What does that word mean?
Because they said it a lot. Like it was used like 6 or 7 times throughout the movie.
Yeah, and I wonder now that you said it was written in part by the woman who made Tremé. I wonder if that is a New Orleans thing that I don't know.
Maybe. I have not seen Tremé.
Neither have I. So
so it's possible that that is a line that is used on Tremé like throughout.
Well, I mean, maybe I don't mean that. I mean, it might be like a New Orleans slang term or something because this movie is very much about setting it in New Orleans. Like it has a lot of New Orleans jazz music, Zydeco kind of thing, and Aaron Neville is in it. So
right, who is the bartender?
Right, he's a bartender, but the Nevilles are a huge New Orleans musical family. So yes,
yeah, he also appeared on an episode of Tremé, actually.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Just throw that out there. Okay, and I've not seen Tremé, but I was researching this movie, and
it doesn't seem really to serve the film in any way. The story. Having it all this New Orleans stuff.
No, not really.
And having we'll put it about making it about New Orleans, quote unquote. Like, I don't know. Do you have anything else generally, or should we focus in on Cage?
Let's focus in on Cage because it's like we both kind of watched this movie and we're both like, like it was whatever.
Right. And we're moving more. The last few episodes, and for the future now, Cage. Talking about the movie is talking about Cage. Like, when we first started, he was the small supporting guy, so we could have,
Right, a conversation about the movie and then talk about Cage.
Right, and we're kind of talking about Cage as part because he's a main character in this one, as he is in most of the stuff going forward, I believe.
Right. Cage in this movie, I think he does fine. Like, he acquits, an animalistic quality to Johnny that works for the character. But again, I think like he might have done better in the Judge Reinhold role, specifically for the way that character goes in the last act of the movie.
Right.
Because I think he could have played up the insanity of that character in a really fun way and might have made this movie more watchable.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's basically a hipster. Like, he's got a really weird haircut, weird facial hair, and weird glasses.
He's got a mullet in this
He
movie.
Does have a mullet, yeah. Effectively a mullet. But interestingly enough, he uses a normal voice. That's the thing I make note of now in every podcast.
Well, he's got the New Orleans accent he's slipping in and out of.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not a weird nasal or anything odd that he's done in the past.
Right,
But yeah, his character, I don't know. His character is just like reprehensible. Everything about him. He's just super. He shows up into this couple's life and just like kills a dude, basically, or drives a guy to suicide. Yep. Which that scene was bizarre.
The one where Judge Reinhold dies?
Yes. I don't understand what was happening.
Yeah, so Judge Reinhold drowns.
Right.
Right. And Cage actually goes in to save him, and then Judge Reinhold like bites into Cage's neck.
Yeah, so he lets him go.
Right, and then he dies.
Yeah. I mean, they make the point how, it's clearly he committed suicide or. Allowed himself to drown because she says, "How do you drown when you know how to swim?" But like, I don't know. It was just really weird because I didn't understand why he was like floating and he's like above the surface for a long. They're on a boat. That's I guess set it up actually, they're on a boat. For some reason, they're flooring it on this boat, and Cage, you know, knocks Reinhold out of the boat into the water, and he's above the surface for like a while the boat stops and they turn around, and then Zandali dives in to save him, and he goes under the surface of his own volition, and then drowns. I don't know. This movie's everywhere, is all over the place, and it's making me confused.
Right. But I mean, overall, Cage in this movie, he's like solid in the role.
Yeah. He does a good job with being a creepy asshole. I don't know. That's what he's following Zandali around and like pulling her into alleys and weird shit.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like he was like trying to channel somebody like Marlon Brando, but the movie is not up to that caliber. Like,
right.
I feel like it's kind of what it was. But yeah, so Zandali overall, not a great experience. Cage, fine in the movie. Definitely not worth checking out, I don't think. If you're a Cage fan, you can watch that one scene on YouTube where Cage freaks out. And that's...
Watch the Cage Freak Out compilation, and you'll see the part that is good in this movie.
But one thing we can take away from Zandali, and this is going to be our new segment on The Complete Works, if all goes well, if we can do more of these.
Yeah.
Netflix user reviews.
All right.
The new segment. So basically, you know, I was checking that. I was researching Zandali, and it was kind of hard to find stuff because nobody saw this movie and nobody cares about it. But you know what? You go on Netflix. I went to go rate it on Netflix. I rated it 1 star. And then I saw that there were user reviews of the movie, and I started reading some of them. And some of them are pretty funny. There's actually a lot of very positive ones. There's just as many negative ones. And I have a few of them here that I thought would be funny to read on the podcast. So that's what we're going to do.
Enlighten us, Mike.
Yeah. All right. This is a 2-star review of the movie. When Nicolas Cage asks a woman why she married her husband, she replies that it was because he wrote poetry. Isn't this poetry, Cage asks, rubbing his hand on her crotch. I'm pretty sure that, from the description of that scene alone, you can make an informed decision whether or not you will enjoy watching this film.
Yeah, that is a very apt review and description.
Yeah.
That's the tone of this whole movie.
Pretty much.
This is him being super rapey and her being like, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. This is a 1-star review of the movie. Which is pretty good. After half an hour, I realized something wasn't quite working. After 1 hour, I thought, could this be the worst movie of all time? When it was over, I thought, yes. Yes, it could be.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
This is a 2-star review of the movie on Netflix. And it goes, if you like watching a man savage a woman's body, this is for you! !
That's the whole review?
There's a little more.
Oh, okay.
Gorgeous woman, ... Very sexy, but the sex scenes were too gross for me! !
What?
Here's a 3-star review of Zandali. Dialogue includes real poetry! ! Great stars, kind of a weak story. The chick dies in a drive-by? There are 3 A's in that.
That's amazing.
The best scene is the guys dancing! ! That made it worth watching twice.
Wow.
But Cage's dyed black mullet was over the top.
Yeah, the black hair. And I couldn't help but make this connection. As you said, this is a story that essentially has been told 1,000 times. You know, this couple in relationship trouble, an old friend returns and steals the girl or does whatever. But I think it was a combination of that story, Nicolas Cage's jet black hair, and his character being named Johnny. All I could think was, this is The Room. Like, it's the same thing, except in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
That was starting right there. I was like, I can't do this movie.
Honestly, I would rather watch The Room than
at least The Room is funny to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're 100% on the nose with that. That is correct. Yep. And there's one more Netflix review here. Let's say 3-star review. Zandali is best thought of as a moving picture in the sense that Kubrick wanted 2001 to be a moving picture.
That's the best. Let's stop there. Can't get any better.
2001 was about pretty images in space. In Zandali, the picture you'll be watching for the majority of the film is Erica Anderson's lovely breasts.
Yeah, it's very true.
Other than these scenic bits of topography,
wow,
the movie does not come off as a forgotten gem. Yeah, that's... Those are... Wow.
Yeah, the...
I think that's an amazing comparison to make.
That is. That's beautiful.
That's a bold choice.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. A lot of the nudity doesn't even serve the story. Like, it's just like, yeah, she's naked for this scene.
She's like, naked for most scenes in this
movie. Most of the scenes, and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But
which is fine.
Know.
Like, she's super hot. I'm
yeah.
I get it.
That's I guess I'm sure that the NC-17 was for male nudity because that's a double standard that the MPAA has.
yeah, true. You do see Cage bare ass a lot in this.
Yeah,
movie
we do
well.
See some Judge Reinhold ass.
Judge
and
Reinhold
some Cage
ass as well.
Yeah. But it's very, very gratuitous and kind of doesn't even serve the story. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not like the sex scenes in Wild at Heart, which we just reviewed. There's a lot in that movie, too.
Right.
But those had, like, a purpose.
Yeah, they kind of fit the theme of what the story is and the insanity of what's going on.
Right, and they would always, like, every time there was a sex scene, it would always relate back to what, like, something that was going on in the movie.
Yeah.
Here, it's just, like... Like the
sure, have a sex scene in an art studio, I guess.
Yeah, that's the entire movie. It's everything in this movie.
Yeah.
You know? So basically what I'm saying is Zandali is not as good as Wild at Heart.
I would agree with that statement.
And those are my final thoughts on Zandali. It's not as good as 2001 either, Mr. Three Star.
Let me just clarify, in case you were wondering, from the last 20 minutes, yeah, or whatever it's been.
So is there anything else you want to talk about Zandali before we move on, Mike?
Well, you know what? Since it was brought up, what about the dance-off on the docks?
The dance-off on the docks. That was quite a scene.
I felt like that was some odd, like... again, trying to say something, but just not working. Like, it is it saying something about masculinity? Like,
yeah, it felt like it was kind of a power play on Judge Reinhold's part. Like, he was the one leading, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like. Because he asks Zandali to join him, and she won't do it. So he asks Nicolas Cage, like, let's show her how it's done.
Yeah.
But they're, like, nose-to-nose, like, doing this weird, yeah, like, very... It must be a traditional, you know, like a... It was, like, the New Orleans thing. Not, right, like, that people dance like that, but that type of dance. And they're just, like, this, like, very... I don't know, folk dance kind of thing. And they're just on a dock in a bayou. That's like, what the I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a weird scene, too. You know, the whole movie is kind of a wash for me. That's not yeah, something I want to talk about again. I mean, I'm sure we'll reference it later on in upcoming podcasts, you know, if we have to refer back, but.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, I genuinely think this is the worst movie we've reviewed so far. Like, this is bad. This is,
yeah,
real bad.
Yeah. I'd put it up there. It's one or two with this or Tempo di Uccidere.
Yeah. Yeah, like Tempo di Uccidere, I think, is more horrifying in its depiction of rape, as
right,
like as something that's like the way it plays it is not good, but like
yeah,
but there yeah, are other scenes in Tempo di Uccidere which are like almost kind of enjoyable to watch, and Zandali doesn't really have that. So
yeah, that's true. That's very true.
So those are our final thoughts, Mike. Where can we find you online this week?
Find me at twitter.com/mdfilmblog. And if you enjoy Dungeons & Dragons, my friend and I stream our games at twitch.tv/geonerd79.
And you can find me at twitter.com/msmithfilmblog, as well as on my podcast at filmbook.com. And you can follow at filmbookpodcast on Twitter to stay up to date on all of our various podcast comings and goings. So thank you for listening to The Complete Works. I'm Mike Smith. It's Mike's Creecio. If you're listening to this review, if you hear our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and take a moment to give us a review. Any and all feedback, compliments, top discussions, even hate mail can be sent directly to podcast@film-book.com. Please list the podcast you're emailing about in the title of your email. We produce so many different ones, hard to keep track. We would love to hear from you. Join us in 2 weeks, where we'll be discussing Nicolas Cage in the 1992 comedy Honeymoon in Vegas, which we were talking about before, and that sounds like a very odd movie.
Yeah, it's not something I think I've heard of or knew about. Seems like another one of those forgotten gems of Cage's past.
Hopefully it's a forgotten gem. I mean, it did. I was looking at it, and it seemed like it did okay at the box office, and like it got okay reviews. You know, it's but it just seems like a very oddball. Like it's a movie with like a team of flying Elvises.
Right.
So definitely going to be interesting to check out. But we're going to be doing that in 2 weeks. Check out this week's film bookcast, where we'll probably be talking Hardcore Henry.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty excited about. I'm eager to see that movie. Unless Everybody Wants Some opens up near us.
Yeah, we're hoping to do Everybody Wants Some, but it's in limited release right now, I think.
Yeah, so if it's not open, if it's not open for both of us, then we'll probably just be talking Hardcore Henry, which I'm also very, like, I'm pretty into.
I'm okay with that also. Yeah.
Hardcore Henry looks pretty badass, so.
Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to that. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to The Complete Works. We are out.